Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? Does what you believe stand up to application? When you do what you believe, is it bringing you into a greater dependence on God? That's the test. Is it having an effect in your life, bringing you into greater peace, joy, rest, healing, all the fruit of the Spirit? That's where it comes from. And I'm sure you've all heard, we don't produce the fruit, we bear it. We don't make it happen. We receive it, the life from God. And that life exhibited in our lives is the fruit. We are the first partakers of that fruit. So if you're not experiencing that peace, that joy, that rest, now, it's interesting is a lot of times we don't know how unrestful we are until we really start to experience godly rest. So we encourage our own beliefs even in that, in interpreting what God is like. If we've never known peace in our lives, or rest, or joy, we can mistake happiness for joy. But we don't want to settle for anything less than everything God has for us. So how do we do that in these kinds of times? How do we have that joy, that peace, that rest? Traditionally speaking, we look to religious activities. Whether it's praying or fasting or worshiping or pleading with God in some way to get Him to move in a particular way. Or we get active on our own. We take up a cause to fix what we see is wrong. Neither one of these are necessarily a wrong approach. The question is, how did you get there? When we're faced with a situation or a crisis or a challenge, we first want to be able to not succumb to what our emotions are telling us. Your feelings and your emotions are going to respond to stimulus, whether it's real or not real, and it's up to the rest of you to bring that into the light of day, to evaluate it objectively, not to criticize it, not to stifle it, but to evaluate. For instance, you're walking down the street, and you see a black squiggly thing on the sidewalk in front of you. And you may for a second think, it's a snake. And your heart starts pumping. And your feet get ready to run. And you may even get a little sweat. But then as you step a little closer, you see it's just a funny-shaped stick. And you laugh it off. Maybe kick it out of the way. And you go on your day. So you've had an immediate emotional reaction, an appropriate one. But then, on closer inspection, you evaluate that those emotions are not warranted. Now you don't stew about it. You don't get mad at whoever left the stick or the tree. You don't cut down the tree because a stick fell on the sidewalk and scared you. You just go on your day. Even before all your emotions have settled, you recognize that that was just a stick. So you just go on. Now, unfortunately, in many other areas, we don't have that same opportunity for closer inspection. When we are bombarded with certain kinds of scary information about what's going on in the world, about what's going on in our lives, whether it be about from a doctor or your friends, you know, someone who has cancer, just newly diagnosed or is even going in for tests, all their friends may be starting to say, oh, yeah, I had a friend or I had a relative that had that, and just stirs up all the emotions. And unfortunately, we are not immediately able to objectively evaluate, give closer inspection to the source. We are relying on others to give us that information, doctors. But we can still let our emotions settle. And just as in the natural, we look at that stick, when we think it's a snake and we look at it a little closer and come to a different conclusion, likewise, we can do the same with other situations. We got financial issues going on and health issues and election issues and family issues. And if we try to evaluate and determine what we should do based on our emotions, it's a strong possibility that we will evaluate and then act in ways that don't match the real situation. There are ineffective reactions. So how do we react effectively? We ask God. Now here's what people do. For instance, in this in the financial situation, we get caught up in who's at fault, or how long is it going to last, what should I do with my money, should I sell my house and move in with my parents, should I look for a new job now. Now, someone asking those questions, let me just put this question out there for you. Is there any difference in asking those questions? Is there any difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? are non-Christians asking those exact same questions. Another way to put it is, what good is it being a Christian, being sons of the Most High God, if we're dealing with crisis situations the same way non-believers are dealing with them? We have access to all the information we could possibly need. We may not like the answers, but we not only have access to the facts, we have access to the truth. So what do? We ask again, Lord, is there anything I need to be doing differently? And just go through areas of your life. Lord, my job, is there anything I need to be doing differently? And again, ask yes or no questions. With your finances, Lord, is there anything I need to be doing differently? With health issues, Lord, is there anything I need to be doing differently? With the election, Lord, is there anything I need to be doing differently? And then follow through. If he says yes, okay, Lord, what? For instance, finances. You know, Lord, should I take my money out of the stock market? Should I close out my IRA? Should I be putting cash aside? Whatever it is that you're concerned about. And let me just suggest, if this is an area of concern for you, that you write these questions down. And then give God time to answer them. And of course, go back and, Lord, is this you? Test everything you hear. But these exact stressful situations are exactly why we've worked at being able to distinguish his voice from all others. Because we're not only distinguishing his voice from the enemy's voice, but we're also learning to distinguish his voice from our own, from our emotional voice, our mental voice, our desire voice. Depending very often on your temperament, you might have made decisions in the past and may be tempted to do so now based on those temperaments and not on what God says to do. So take your temperament into consideration. Some of us are more reliant on our emotions. We're emotionally based. Life revolves around how we're feeling. If we feel satisfied or if we feel anxious, we interpret the information we get based on that. Knowing that, some of us need to take extra care, extra time, to not act on those emotions. Don't make decisions, choices, based on emotions. Likewise, we may want to gain enough understanding that we can make our decision. And we may research and study an area until we understand it and that feel confident that we can make a decision based on that. That's not good enough either. Now with your emotions, God values your emotions. You value your emotions. There's nothing wrong with your emotions. They're just not good to base decisions on. likewise your own thoughts, gaining understanding. There's nothing wrong with gaining understanding. God loves you to understand, and you want to understand. It's just you don't make decisions based on your own understanding. Finally, some of us just have to have something to do. Our solution is, and sometimes it's not even related to the crisis, but we have to have busy work. Keep ourselves busy. Find something to do. And if it's around the finances, that's why so often so many people are moving their funds, moving money around, putting it in their under their mattress, because it's something they can do. And then having done something, they feel satisfied. But that's not the way God does things either. God appreciates your being able to make a decision and do something. And that's a trait he values in you. But we don't make our decisions based on our desire or our need to do something. So what do we do? Yeah, you know what's coming, we ask God. And as we do that, what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and what we want to do will eventually line up with whatever God's truth is for that situation. Then you are free, if he gives you specific directions, to just follow through and go on with your life. You don't have to overreact. You don't have to cut down the tree because it dropped a branch that looked like a snake that scared you when you were walking out to your car. You can, it's not a snake, it's a stick. You kick it out of your way and you go to your car. Sure, you had an emotional reaction. Sure, it was scary. But you go on with what your business is. But that takes being able to know what your business is, what God's business is for you. So there's nothing wrong, again, with, you know, having an emotional response to these situations is thoroughly understandable. Likewise with personal issues. Wanting to understand, wanting to be able to get a handle on things and come to our own conclusions. Now there comes a point where just by trying to get that understanding, we keep ourselves stirred up. And here's what can happen. We get so focused or stirred up by these emotional challenges that we finally get burnt out. We don't have any resources left. So that when God does say, I need you to do this and thus, we don't have any oomph left. We don't have energy or desire or ability. We've wasted it. We've squandered it. So we want to be aware of where we are. Our energy is going during a crisis. Make sure you're not expending energy unnecessarily. For instance, if you're all concerned about the economy and what to do with your money, watching TV isn't going to help. they're not going to give you the facts of your situation. And they're not going to tell you what God wants you to do. They're not on your side. They're in it for the ratings. It's their business. Scary gets higher ratings. Calming people, saying, it's okay, just hang in there. People want to be stirred up. Knowing that, you just stay away from that information if it has that effect on you. But you check with God about if there's anything you should do. And we talked in another program about how this is a great opportunity for you to look for any lessons that you might need to take care of. Like if you are having trouble with your finances, or if you realize, you know, dang, I shouldn't have had all my eggs in one basket. Write it down. Get all the eggs out of one basket. And then ask God, how, you know, what areas do I need to change? Get through this. Don't worry about trying to change it right in the middle, unless God says so. But then when this is over, it will be over. When it's over, make the changes necessary. This is an opportunity to learn, to depend on Him, and sort of milk it for all it's worth. You don't have control over what's going on Wall Street, Washington, and D.C., in New York. You don't have control over that. But what do you have control over? Who you go to for information. The only information that's going to help you is, what does God want you to do? Now, He may bring you other information, but then when it comes from Him, you know that there's a reason for it. There's an effectiveness to it. Go to Him first. Because really, that's what we've been talking about as far as success. When we talk about a successful Christian life, it's not being productive, it's not being perfect, it's not, you know, oh well, this crisis happened in my lot in the economy, and because I heard from God, it didn't affect me at all because I had already put everything where it was supposed to be. No, that's not perfection. I mean, that's not success. Success is, even though I got caught and my finances are hurting, I'm depending on God to lead, guide, direct me, comfort me, motivate me. And I'm getting through it by depending on God. That's success. So when we look at what is success for a Christian? Really, you know, that really is, that's our pursuit. We are told that that's what's important, is success. And we're talking about not letting others define success for us. So don't let others define not having any problems as success, or not being caught in a crisis as success. Success is merely depending on God, Who do you turn to first? Turning to God first, that's success. So let's look at the example of Jesus himself to see what his success looked like to others. What did others see? Somehow, Jesus had stirred an entire nation and beyond with his words and with his actions. What did that actually look like? Jesus said, if these multitudes, if all the people had seen him, they had seen his Father. What did it sound like? Jesus said that he spoke only those things that he had received of his Father. So what is the standard of success we want to look for? Do our actions, do our words reflect and give out, share our Father, his very nature, our new nature? Do our actions and words reflect and contain and spill over contentment, wholeness, and dependence on God alone? Now, what this specifically will look like in your situation will be determined on your case-by-case basis. But know that as our soulical senses are tuned, we learn to recognize ourselves when we are walking in dependence, as well as others when they are walking in dependence. Those that have eyes and ears that are quickened by the Lord himself will see and hear. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't move when we don't hear from God. So you don't know if you're going to lose your job or not. Do you stop going into work? No. Say you ask God, should I be looking for another job? Because this one looks kind of iffy. And you ask him, God, what should I be doing? Should I be looking for another job? And say you don't get a clear answer, and you test it, and you still, it's kind of iffy. Change it around a little bit. Lord, is it okay if I start doing some research to find another job? And maybe you just start doing the research. And just going through the motions might be what you need to keep your temperament from getting out of control. In that case, you would go, okay, Lord, I'm working, 40, 50, 60 hours a week, whatever it is. How much time should I spend researching, looking for another job? Still no answer? Ask him, okay, Lord, I think I'm going to spend 2 hours a week. How does that sound? And if that is satisfying to you, and say he still doesn't answer, go ahead and do it. You're not, again, making life-changing decisions based on emotion. You've recognized that you have a need to be doing something, but that something doesn't have to be totally life-changing. So hope this helps. If you've got any questions, drop me a line. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together at 7:30 tomorrow morning. Have a great Monday. Talk to you soon. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.